Hello there, faithful listener. You've tuned in to Season 7 of the Bible Explained podcast. So make sure to grab your cup of coffee, because today we are going to be discussing the Book of Romans. Hey there, faithful listeners, and good morning. Welcome to the Bible Explained podcast, where we are going to be discussing the most controversial portion of the Bible, which is Romans chapter 1. At least it's one of the most controversial portions of the Bible, and I hope I do it justice. In fact, I am very excited to talk about this issue because it is something that is kind of near and dear to my heart, mainly because I struggled in some of the same ways that Romans chapter 1 talks about. And so I will certainly be getting into that today, and I'll also be talking about, was the Bible changed in 1946 to include the word homosexuality? And if so, what did that do? Did that cause Christians to be anti-gay? Did that cause Christians to be homophobic? So we'll talk about all of that today. So let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Buckle up and grab your cup of coffee or your cup of tea this morning, and let's read this together. I'll be reading out of the WEB. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is revealed in them, for God revealed it to them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because knowing God, they didn't glorify him as God, and didn't give thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and traded the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to uncleanliness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For their women exchanged the natural function into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural function of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men doing what is inappropriate with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. Even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil habits, secret slanderers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. I think it's really funny that several times in the Bible, we see Paul being a little bit fearful to spread the gospel, and even at one point asking people to pray for him so that he is bold in spreading the gospel. But then he writes this in Romans chapter 1. And the reason this is so funny is because Paul really, maybe he internally struggled with boldness, but he was very bold because all of this stuff was so prominent when Paul was alive. For example, when Paul wrote to the book of Romans, he was on his second missionary journey to the city of Corinth. And Corinth was very well known for its idolatry, first and foremost, and secondly, for sexual promiscuity through prostitution, homosexuality, and just all sorts of other crazy things would go on in Corinth. And it was practiced and preached. Not to mention, if you know anything about the Roman Empire, you know that they were also super promiscuous and very encouraging of homosexuality and promiscuity in general. For example, I think it was Nero who married a little boy, and it was done with like all this pomp, you know, like it was a huge wedding ceremony where people were celebrating Nero marrying this unfortunate castrated little boy. So homosexuality was encouraged and it was taught and it was celebrated. And that is exactly what Paul is writing about in today's portion. Verses 18 through 21, we kind of talked about a little bit on Tuesday, when I did my video podcast episode. So if you have not gone over to YouTube yet and subscribed, go do that, because I'm doing some episodes on video now and uploading them to YouTube. But I'd like to review verses 18 through 21 again, because it really ties in, obviously, to what we are talking about today. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." And how do they suppress the truth? Because God is revealed in them and has revealed the truth to them, is what verse 19 says. And how did he reveal the truth to everybody? "The invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because knowing God, they didn't glorify him as God and didn't give him thanks, but became vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart was darkened." So Paul is arguing that every single person has seen evidence of God. And we have all seen evidence of God through creation, because we can look at creation, we can observe it, we can see that it is unique, it is amazing, and that somebody created it. And God gave us creation to enjoy. But there are certain people who refuse to see it and refuse to understand the truth, and instead choose to believe in something else other than God. Whether it's the belief that there is no God, whether it's the belief that it's some other man-made God, or whatever it might be. These people, verse 22, "professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and traded the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things." I've said multiple times on the podcast in the past that America doesn't really bow down specifically to worship any graven image exactly. But there are other things that Americans are doing to worship things other than God, for sure. We worship money. We worship flags. I mean, there's a flag for every single identity on the planet. We worship ourselves. And I would say that self-worship is probably one of the biggest forms of idolatry in America today. In fact, I would argue that all idolatry comes back to self-worship, because if you think about it, if somebody is creating an idol, they are assigning identity to that idol, whatever they want the identity to be for that idol, placing whatever man-made identity they want on this idol and worshiping that. So I would argue that every single form of idolatry is self-worship. But going back to the text here, it says, because people refused to believe in the truth of God, Yahweh, God gave them up in the lusts of their heart to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. The body is quite sacred when it comes to Christianity, because Jesus considers the Christian church a part of his body. And on top of that, our bodies as Christians house the Holy Spirit. And that is why we should be taking care of our bodies. That is why we should be making sure that the Holy Spirit has a comfortable place to live, in a sense, because the Holy Spirit comes and lives in each one of us. And so the body is very sacred, both because we are considered to be Jesus's body and because the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and we have Jesus in our hearts. So these people who refuse to believe in God, instead of making their bodies sacred, they are dishonoring their bodies with each other, because they are exchanging the truth of God for a lie. And they're worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For their women exchanged the natural function into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural function of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men doing what is inappropriate with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. Okay, clearly this is talking about homosexuality, right? And this also correlates to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. And I'm going to read that for you real quick. "Or don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Don't be deceived. neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor extortionists will inherit God's kingdom. Some of you were such, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. So Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6 correlate pretty heavily because they're both talking about people who are not living in God's truth and how people who refuse to live in God's truth are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. However, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul states that these are not unforgivable sins, that you can be washed of these sins, basically. They are not unforgivable. And that is very encouraging for me. And 1 Corinthians 6 in general has been very encouraging for me in the past, because when I was feeling a lot of guilt from struggling with homosexuality, 1 Corinthians 6 brought a lot of comfort and relief to me, especially after I finally confessed those sins to my husband and to the people around me. After that, I was able to remove the guilt of that by reading 1 Corinthians 6. I might have struggled with homosexuality in the past, but I am washed of that. I am a new creation. I am a new person. And honestly, I really have been washed of that sin. I don't struggle the same way that I used to. And I'm not saying that it's never going to come back or it hasn't come back throughout the years. It might always be a struggle for me, but it does not have the same weight on me that it used to. I don't feel the same amount of guilt. Instead, I confess it when those feelings pop up and I move forward in my relationship with God and with my husband. So yes, these are not unforgivable sins. However, if you're continuing to live in them and act as if there is nothing wrong with these sins and teaching other people there's nothing wrong with these sins, then not only are you living outside of God's design, but you are sinning. You are actively sinning. And Paul says that people who choose to live in these sins and encourage other people to do them, they are not going to inherit God's kingdom. And unfortunately, there is a huge push for that right now. There are people saying that the Bible has been changed in 1946. I think possibly you might have heard that in the past, that, you know, homosexuality was never a sin, but they just added it in there in 1946. And actually, 1 Corinthians 6, the chapter that brought me a lot of comfort when I was struggling with guilt, that is what a lot of critics of the Bible say was changed, that the word homosexual was never in 1 Corinthians 6, and it wasn't added until 1946. And that caused Christians to be super anti-gay and super homophobic. But what's really interesting about that argument that the Bible was changed in 1946 is that first and foremost, we have early copies of the Bible. They get to the heart of what Paul was trying to say. And apparently, the word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 6 that people translate as homosexual was arsenikotai. And apparently, Paul invented that word, taking two words, the word arsen, which meant male, and then koiti, which means lying. So arsenikoiti literally means men who lie with other men. And so a lot of people have said, well, you know, since Paul invented that word, it could mean anything. It could mean something totally different, or maybe Paul was just talking about something else. But no, Paul was specifically saying men who lie with other men. And Leviticus 18:22 actually uses both the word arson and koiti. Remember, male and lying. And if we look at Leviticus 18:22, it is also an Old Testament passage clearly condemning homosexual behavior. And Paul took two words from Leviticus 18:22, arson and koiti, and put them together to form the word arsenikotai, which means male who lies with male. But the reason people claim the Bible was changed in 1946 was because the word homosexual was rising in popularity. However, the original Greek word arsenikotai means men who lie with other men, or male who lies with male. Now, that's just one example of the way some people are trying to suppress the truth of the sin of homosexuality. As you know, there are many lies that we hear on a daily basis about how homosexuality isn't actually a sin. It's not actually against God. There are like priests and stuff going up and teaching this. There are pastors going up and teaching this. There's actually a church in my area where their outside like billboard thingy says an inclusive church, all welcome here. And it has the LGBTQ flag on that church sign. That's one church that I can think of the two in my area that are accepting of homosexuality. The other church that I know of actually meets in the local middle school on Sunday mornings. So as you know, we're hearing stuff about this all the time. And then of course, there's the Queen James Version Bible where a handful of people literally just took the King James Version and changed, I want to say it was 8 passages of scripture that talk about homosexuality into something more affirming is what they say. And they call it the Queen James Version of the Bible. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 1. People who are suppressing the truth, people who are refusing to acknowledge the truth about sin, and also teaching other people to ignore the truth about sin as well. And here's what ends up happening to them. Verse 28, Romans 1. Even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil habits, secret slanderers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful. So, I mean, like Paul like rails into these people. And this isn't talking about homosexuals in general. This is talking specifically about the people who know the ordinances of God, but who suppress the truth and approve of other people who practice the same evil things that they practice. And Paul says that all of these things are happening because they are rejecting the knowledge of God. Even though they know God exists, they are rejecting it. And you might wonder, well, why is God allowing that to happen? Why does God allow these people to just get worse and worse and worse? Well, Paul actually answers that question throughout all of this. It's because of the wrath of God. That is what verse 18 says. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God is purposefully allowing these people to go on sinning more and more and more so that his wrath can be shown on them at the end. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because, like I said on Tuesday, when we think of wrath, we think of the humanly version of it, you know, the version that's angry, that's volatile, that's sinful. But God's wrath is not like that. God does not sin. All of his wrath is righteous, meaning it is just. I know I'm getting kind of in depth here, but I've talked in the past about how God will sometimes harden hearts. And that's basically what Paul is talking about here. Eventually, God stops trying to pull people towards him. When they reject him enough times, when they ignore him enough times, eventually God is just like, okay, you do what you want to do. And these people will go and they will do what they want to do and continue to reject God. They have chosen their path. However, for those who choose to have faith in God and for those who don't reject God's discipline and don't reject God in general, God is going to keep them from living this debaucherous lifestyle, basically. I think the WEB says reprobate. Other versions will say debaucherous or debase. God's going to keep those who have faith in him from living this kind of lifestyle because this kind of lifestyle ends in misery. And not only does it end in misery in this lifetime, but especially in the next lifetime to come. Because experiencing God's wrath is the most terrifying thing you will ever go through. Jesus himself said to his followers, "Don't be afraid of people who can destroy your body." Okay, so people who try to persecute you, don't be afraid of them. Instead, be afraid of God the Father, who not only can destroy your body, but can destroy your soul as well. All right, faithful listeners, well, I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. It's one of the most controversial portions of the Bible, actually. This is one of the portions that a lot of people like to ignore or suppress, specifically because of the homosexual thing. But I hope I explained it to you guys well and that you understand a little bit more about this portion. And if any of you do struggle with homosexual tendencies, just know that that is not an unforgivable sin. That Paul himself said that we can be washed of that sin. And yes, it might feel shameful at first. It might be embarrassing for you to admit it. But once you do, and I am speaking from experience, once you admit it, it is so, so worth it to get that off your chest and to get that out in the open and to start healing from that sin. So I encourage all of you, if you do struggle with that, to find somebody who you can confide in and somebody who you know will be a good mentor to you. And that'll be the first step of your healing. And I can tell you it'll be very, very hard even to admit it to that person, but it'll be worth it in the end. Faithful listeners, obviously we are not going to be finished discussing the issue of homosexuality because we are going to move into 1 Corinthians 6 at some point in time. So we will talk more about this issue someday. But faithful listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you all tomorrow for an episode from 1 Samuel. Happy listening, and God bless.